We're reading from Genesis chapter 22, and I'll read from verse 1 through to verse 19. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham?" "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off again together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba.
Today we are starting a new series entitled Hello, Hello. And we're going to look at some of the instances in the Bible where God called the name of a person twice, indicating perhaps the urgency and the importance that at that given time they listen to what God is saying. And it may be important in these stories that we will look at, because each time God spoke the name of someone twice, they were experiencing some kind of highly emotional situation. And of course, those are the times that can often cause us to not think clearly, when we can make wrong decisions, when we have a heightened emotional experience that we're going through. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the idea of God speaking to us and the importance to listen in different circumstances. So for example, when life doesn't make sense, we need to listen when all hope seems to be lost. We need to listen when the challenge seems too hard. We need to listen when I haven't done this particular thing before. It's all very new to me. Need to listen when I have so much to do. To listen when I'm heading for a fall. To listen when I am feeling alone. And to listen when I need to start all over again. So if you want to walk this journey with us over these next few weeks, these are the areas we're going to be looking at. And this morning we're going to look at this subject of when life doesn't make sense. And maybe that's a phrase that you would use in some ways to describe your life right now, or maybe some circumstance you're going through where you might say it just doesn't make sense. If we look at the early days, the story of Abraham, we will see that on many occasions, Abraham experienced this particular thing. So at the beginning in Genesis 12, when we're first introduced with Abraham, we're told at the age of 75, he's asked to leave Haran and be able to go to the place, the land that God would show him. So that wouldn't have really made much sense. I mean, anyone here who's 75 or above, you would think 75 is an age when you start settling down, doing less. It's certainly not kind of an age when you start up in sticks and going to places, certainly even places that you don't know about. But Abraham, it seems, listened to God and he started packing. And by one way or another, God indicated that Canaan was the place in which he should go. And so he made his way there, and when he got to Shechem, God spoke to him a little bit more and said this in chapter 12, verse 7 of Genesis, "To your offspring I will give this land." Now, that would have made no sense whatsoever, because Abraham didn't have any children. He was 75 and had no kids. So how could God give his offspring all of this land? It didn't make sense. And I wonder if anything that God has ever said to you didn't make sense. I remember back in 2013 that I was meeting with a few leaders from churches in Wrexham at the time, and we were praying together, and I asked for prayer in regard to guidance. I'd been working as a minister for 16 years, and I'd followed the prompt of God to come out of the ministry for a while and work with the disadvantaged and the vulnerable. And the work I'd been doing, particularly with older generation, was coming to an end. And so I needed to know from the Lord, was he going to call me back into church ministry or to carry on working with the vulnerable? And so I asked folks if they would pray with me. And I always remember this one person prayed and then said to me afterwards, "I feel the Lord is saying that you will minister again, but in a different way. It won't look like church, but it will be church." So that was a little bit cryptic, to say the least, but it still gave me a little bit of guidance, because I thought, right, in the light of that, how will I interpret what I'm currently considering? So I had an interview in a church in Northern Ireland at the time to be able to go to, and I also had an interview coming up for a chief executive role based in London, working with the isolated elderly. And I went to the church in Northern Ireland, and immediately, as soon as I set foot there, I had to spend the day there waiting for a meeting, and I just sensed overwhelmingly, nothing against Northern Ireland, I've been there many times beforehand, I just sensed this was not where God was calling me. I'll try and enjoy the experience of the day, but this was not where I should be. And it kind of fitted in with that word. It won't look like church, but it will be church. And this was an established church. The door, however, did open for the work in London. And so I took up that post working with the isolated elderly. And what was interesting is quite quickly I realized that the work I was involved in, though it was a chief exec role, had a huge amount of pastoral work involved in it, both in caring for the elderly, but also in caring for the staff and the various things which they were going through. On a number of occasions, I was involved in helping with funerals from some of our senior members who passed away. But what was interesting, it wasn't long after I joined this Christian charity where the chair of trustees described this charity as being like a church. And she said, "It doesn't look like one, but it is one." And at that point, it was almost exactly the words that this person had prayed a number of months ago. And I found that incredibly encouraging, that I felt that even though the word God had given me was somewhat cryptic, that I had followed enough of the lead to then eventually find that I had ended up in the place that God was calling me to. And it was confirmed with even the words kind of spoken back to me. And I learned through that situation the value of listening to God's voice when the way isn't clear. And even if the journey that God leads us on isn't clear, and even if the word he gives us to respond to isn't entirely clear, it's important to hold on to it, to write it down, to pray into it, and make decisions in the light of it. Trust God that he at some point may confirm that word and show you're on the right path. So God had this word, to your offspring I will give you this land. And when Lot, his nephew, parted company with him, God gave a little bit more detail about this in Genesis 13. It says this, verse 14. The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had parted from him, look him around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. That must have been a wonderful word to hear, and also an utterly confusing word to hear. On the one hand, Abraham was being presented here with an amazing provision of grace. He wasn't being told that he had to do anything. He didn't have to buy land. He didn't have to earn land. God was freely giving him this vast amount of land everywhere that he could see. This was an amazing grace. On the other hand, it just didn't make sense because he keeps saying, I'm going to give it to you and your offspring, your offspring, your offspring. I haven't got any children. How can I therefore see this being given to my offspring? It didn't make sense. How can I have future offspring if I don't have a current child to start it off with? Yet God insists that he remembers the promise by looking down in the ground, and whenever he sees the dust of the ground, remember, you're going to have as many offspring as the dust in the earth. Didn't make sense. And so Abraham decided the next time God speaks to him, he's going to bring up this elephant in the room. He's going to bring up this situation with God and try and get a bit more clarity. So when we get to Genesis 15, Abraham is addressed by God. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. And so Abraham says, right, this is it. It's time to mention the fact that there is a problem here. He says, Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. That was his servant. The common practice would be that if you don't have any children, you perhaps would adopt your main servant and then you'd leave your things to him. So he'll inherit my estate. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. How can I have numerous descendants when I'm not the dad of one? I've got no one to carry my family name. I've got to pass everything I have onto my servant. How is that a reward? And how can I have so many descendants when I don't even have one child? This makes no sense. And it's a good argument. And probably all of us at one stage or another in our Christian life have had a reasonable argument with God. How we've tried to put God right, that he hasn't quite seen something, that really God ought to do this, or he really ought not to do this. He really ought to heal this person. He really ought to show his wrath to this person. Come on, God. Surely I'm right. But no matter how sincere and passionate we are about how we understand something, in the end, that's exactly as it is. It's just our understanding of a situation. Something that doesn't make any sense to us whatsoever may be perfectly reasonable to God. And so we have to trust the one who understands far more than us when life doesn't make sense. So God gives Abraham a little bit more clarification. He says, the man, this man, will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. Not your servant, but your son. Abraham's going to be a dad. Even though he's over 75 and his wife is well past the normal age for giving birth, she is going to get pregnant. He is going to have a son. And in this vision, because this is a vision he's got at the time, before he could jump up in the air, God takes him outside, and it says he took him outside, said, look up to the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. So see what he's done. He said in Genesis 13, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. So when you look down, when you walk during the day, when you look down, remember all the offspring. And then when you look up to the stars at nighttime, when perhaps you're most worried, you're most concerned about the future, you're most anxious, look up to the sky and remember the promise. So whether it's down, whether it's up, whether it's day, whether it's night, I'm going to remind you of my word. And it says in verse 6 of chapter 15, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Great faith displayed, even though life was not making sense. And I think that's a good prompt. Don't wait till everything makes sense before we step out in faith. Don't respond to God in faith and say, okay, I'll go with what you say, when everything all comes together and we understand everything. Don't wait that way. Respond to God whether it makes sense or not. Abraham believed the Lord. And he expected it, I guess, very soon. And so without trying to sound rude, Abraham would have responded to God's word by going home, sleeping with his wife, and expecting her to get pregnant. But a year on, he's childless. 2 years on, he's childless. It just doesn't make sense. God has said, you're going to have a child of yourself. You're going to be able to pass it on to your child. 2 years on, still no child. Every day he looked down at the dust. Every day he looked up at the stars, reminded of this promise. But every night he went to bed without being able to say goodnight to a son. 10 years went by from the time when he came into Canaan and he was still childless. And so at the age of 85, Sarah, his wife, and he came up with a plan to resolve the problem. A reasonable fix in their mind. Sarai had a slave girl called Hagar. She suggested that Abraham slept with Hagar. She could give birth to her child, like as a surrogate wife, give birth to a child, and then the promise would be fulfilled. Exactly what happened. How awful that must have been for Sarai, that the moment, the first time he sleeps with this woman, she gets pregnant, whereas Abraham had slept with her so many times and she hadn't. She must have felt the burden of responsibility at that point. It was obviously me, she must have thought. But Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. Finally, Abraham was a dad. His own flesh and blood was now in the world. And now having these numerous descendants was a possibility. And they thought that what they had done was in accordance with God's plan. It was a reasonable solution as far as they were concerned. It actually led to conflict eventually between Hagar and Sarai, and eventually Hagar and Ishmael moved out. But I don't think that this master plan at all was God's idea when he first said, from your flesh and blood. And in fact, it's important, I think it's a good reminder, that we don't need to fix God's plans, because they're actually not broken. It's just that we don't always understand them. Just because we don't understand what God is doing doesn't mean he's got it wrong. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean that he's lost control, or that he's forgotten us, or that he doesn't care. It's simply a case we don't understand what God is doing. It may not make sense to us, but the call to us is to listen to the one for whom it does make sense. Otherwise, we may well make a wrong decision. We all know that when we are in an emotional, heightened experience, we may make wrong decisions. When we're under financial stress, for example, it may seem totally reasonable to draw money off one credit card to pay another credit card. That might meet a temporary problem, but it actually puts us more in debt. When we're under emotional stress because we're overweight, it might seem very reasonable to comfort eat to help us get through the problem, but that just makes us heavier. When we're under mental stress because of guilt for something that we've done or something that we haven't done, we could convince ourselves that we should just keep quiet about it or lie about it and cover it up. That might seem a reasonable response, but in fact, that just makes us feel more guilty. It's common knowledge that when we're bereaved or depressed, we should not make important life-changing decisions because the emotional trauma that we're going under will affect our reasoning ability. And I think Abraham's story is important to remember that when we're surrounded in environments that just don't make sense, be careful about thinking, I'm going to make a really major life-changing decision, because it may be affected and you may therefore not make a proper response. If you're going through that situation, share it with a trusted friend. Let them give you counsel and share it with your most trusted friend, which is God, and listen to him. Pray, read God's word, listen to worship songs, fast, sit on a mountaintop and take it all in, what God has made. Whatever is the way that you can listen to God, seek after it. If life doesn't make sense, don't necessarily try and make sense of life. Spend time with the one for whom it does make sense. So Abraham and Sarah took things into their own hands. Ishmael came into the world, and no doubt they probably thought, that's it. Everything's fine. We've sorted God out. We've got things working right. For 13 years, it seemed to be that way. And they probably thought, that's it. Our life is back to normal. Life is making a bit more sense now. Ishmael will eventually marry, have kids, and everything's going to be fine. And then God met with Abraham again. Genesis 17, Abraham's name was changed to Abraham, from exalted father to father of many nations. And then God started to say, actually, the son you're looking at here, Ishmael, isn't the one that I was talking about coming from you. You're going to have another son. And this is what God says to Abraham about his wife, Sarai, who's now going to have a name changed to Sarah, which means princess. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you'll call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. This does not make sense. Abraham is 99 at this point, and Sarah's 89. This does not make sense. Maybe even when he was 75 and she was 65, it made a little bit more sense. At that time, that didn't make sense. But now this makes no sense. What's going on here? Whilst it's wonderful news in some way, it just doesn't make sense. That God is going to set his covenant with a child that Sarah, who's never had a child, is going to give birth to. And for the first time in some 24 years, God actually gives a date to work with. Up until beforehand, he just said, it's going to happen, didn't give a date. And he says, but my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. We've only got a few more months to wait. And Abraham, even though it did not make sense, listened to God. He slept with his wife, and she got pregnant. And the next year, Isaac was born. What a fantastic story. Ups and downs, confusion and clarity, but now everything is fine. And at the age of 100, finally, Abraham is able to say, right, it's all coming together now. Everything is fine. Maybe now my life will no longer be a mystery, no longer it would be full of problems and things that don't make sense. Everything was fine, and Isaac grew. And then God set the bombshell that we read earlier. This wonderful provision, this child of promise, Genesis 22, sacrifice him. There, as a burnt offering on a mountain, I will show you. What is going on? That makes no sense, absolutely no sense. What is this about? I've waited. I've done what you said, God. Or maybe not so much with Hagar, but I've done as best as I could for what you've said. And now you're saying, kill the boy? That makes no sense. One thing, killing children makes no sense. Killing this child, the child of promise, the one you said future generations is coming from, the one that you've said you're establishing your covenant, this makes no sense. He's had to deal with lots of different problems in his life, but surely this one is the most confusing he's ever had in his life. Now, we know from reading the scripture that it starts off in Genesis 22 saying that God is going to test Abraham. So we know this is a test. Abraham didn't know that. We know from the Bible that God does not condone child sacrifice. We can read that. He puts it in his word. He says this is not acceptable. We know that. But Abraham didn't. We know from reading the books of Moses that it was God's plan that the firstborn child would be given to him. He set that in his law. And in a sense, this was a kind of a forerunner of that. Give your first child, your one and only child, the child, first child of promise. Give this person to me. But Abraham didn't know that. We know that this whole story of Isaac being sacrificed and the provision of the ram and the head in the thicket, we know this is all a wonderful picture of Jesus and his sacrifice for us with a crown of thorns upon his head to be able to die for our sin. We know that. We know the bigger picture, but Abraham didn't. Because we have God's word, we understand a little bit more of what may have been going on, even though we may be horrified by this story. Amazingly, even though this was an absolutely incredibly disastrous moment in the thinking of Abraham, he listened to God. And it says the next day, he took his son to the mountains. How on earth could he do that? How could he have listened to that instruction and said, okay? How could he have been in an environment that makes no sense whatsoever, but still show an obedience? Maybe a couple of things which he says on the way give us some indication. He says to the servants in verse 5, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. It might indicate the fact that he didn't think in the end God was really going to do this. He was going to provide another way. He may have just been saying that to put off the servants, or he may have been truly believing that God was going to provide, even in the 11th hour. And then in verse 8, when Isaac says, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but where's the offering? And Abraham says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. That could have been just a way of fobbing Isaac off so he didn't run away when he realized what was going to happen. Or it could have been that he genuinely believed that God was going to provide a lamb. All we know is he climbed the mountain and God didn't stop him. We know that he built the altar and God didn't stop him. We know that he bound Isaac up and God didn't stop him. This makes no sense. He laid Isaac on the altar and God didn't stop him. He lifted the knife up to kill his son. At that point, Abraham must have been saying, God, this is making no sense. And at that moment, God called Abraham's name twice. Abraham! Abraham, if there was ever a time Abraham needed to listen to the voice of God, it was then. Abraham called his name twice. Abraham listened to God. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know you fear God because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over, took the ram, and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Phew. What would have happened if Abraham hadn't listened when everything didn't make sense? The whole future through Isaac was in jeopardy. God had promised, look to the sky, look to the ground. Be reminded of this wonderful provision. And it says in 1 Kings 4:20, about 1,100 years later, the people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand on the seashore. It happened. But in order for that to be fulfilled, Abraham needed to listen to his voice, his name being called by God. And today I want to encourage you to stand firm in your faith, even if what you're going through doesn't make sense. Jesus never said following him would be easy, nor did he say that we'll understand everything in life. But he did say he'll be with us through all circumstances, ever-present help, and therefore we need to be listening to his voice, no matter how confusing life may be. When things don't seem to make sense, don't automatically try and fix it. Because maybe it's not broken. Maybe it's just that we don't understand what's happening. And if we try and reason solely on our own, with the understanding that we do have, we may misunderstand our situation and make a decision that we will regret. Listen to God. Trust in the one who understands all. And if we're confident that God has given us a promise to provide us something, even if we're still waiting and waiting and waiting, no matter how long we have to wait, trust him in faith that the one who has promised will keep his promise. If God has said it, it's guaranteed, no matter how long it takes to be fulfilled. When Abraham's life didn't make sense, God called his name twice. Got his attention, showed him the right path. And I pray that we may, in the confusion of our lives, listen to his voice, listen to him calling our name, and follow the lead that he shows us, that we too may experience that land of promise.